Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Over 100 years, Gillette has stood with men through early mornings, late evenings, and everything in between. Gillette, the best a man can get.
Just some pretty harrowing news, really. There's no other way to describe it. Police carrying out the search for the missing light aircraft that had a British Premier League club Cardiff City's record new signing, Argentina-born striker Emiliano Sala, on board have found a number of objects floating in the water. Confirmation came in this morning that he was indeed on board that plane, and the police have subsequently this evening at 5 p.m. called off their search overnight because conditions have become too hazardous. This is the chairman of Cardiff City, Ken Chu, speaking about the incident earlier today.
We are very shocked when we heard about the news. We expected Emilio to arrive last night into Cardiff, and today was his first day with the team. When we heard about the plane which has gone missing, we were very shocked, and it caught all of us off guard, you know. And our owner, Vincent, and our chairman, they're all very distressed about the situation. We just hope that they could find a plane and find Emilio and the pilot. And we still continue to pray that we have some news of him. And we call off training today because everybody is not in the frame of mind, and everybody is praying for Emilio. And everybody's in shock status at this point in time, including myself.
Yeah, so there you go. That's the Cardiff City chairman speaking earlier today, and you can hear the obvious shock in his voice as well. So the Argentina forward, 28 years of age, if you're just not aware of the background as well, signed for Cardiff City from FC Nantes last week for a club record fee of €17 million. He had played for in France since 2012, so a big move for him, a big move for the club as well, who are struggling in the relegation zone at the moment. And Mark Langdon, football editor with the Racing Post, is on the line to talk a bit more about this. Hi, Mark.
Good evening. You okay?
Yeah, not too bad. So, look, it's a pretty shocking story. Obviously, everyone's still hanging on to the hope that we're going to get some positive news out of this, which looks increasingly unlikely, given the conditions, given how cold the temperature is outside, and particularly in the water as well. But give us the background into how the Cardiff City came across this guy and how the whole signing happened in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, Sala had been in France, like you say, for you know, virtually all of his professional career, really. Even though he's Argentinian born, he came over, played for Bordeaux first of all. Then he kind of knocked around a few clubs on loan. Didn't really work out for too many of them. And then it's at Nantes where he really has made his name. He scored a lot of goals for Nantes, particularly this season under Haliodzic, the veteran coach who was a striker himself and was, you know, I think a bit like Solskjaer and Rashford, really, was sort of, you know, working with the forwards to make them better. And Salah was getting on the end of lots of crosses, target man, centre forward. It's quite ironic, really, because I was actually doing a radio show back in about October time, and a question came in from a Cardiff fan and said, who can we realistically look to buy? And I mentioned this guy as somebody that really would be my number one choice if I was Cardiff, because he suited their style of football. Didn't surprise me when Cardiff did spend the money that they did on him. And you know, this is just a harrowing story. A lot of in Nantes tonight there, you know, vigil going on, and you know, that there's a lot of people out on the streets, which I think goes to show the kind of impact that Salah made on the club.
Absolutely, yeah. And as you say, I mean, Andrew mentioned the story to me earlier on about but you spotting him quite early on in the season back in October and the interview for Talk Sport. And you must have been, I suppose, pleasantly surprised when you heard the news that he was going to Cardiff, Mark.
Yeah. I mean, it was, because I'd followed his career, like I said, mainly this season, because the goals have been going in, and, you anybody that scores that amount of goals, you start, people want to know about them, and I sort of watched him a few times, and, like I say, he was definitely suited to British football and a Neil Warnock team, if you like, because that's the way that he kind of likes to play his football, and Cardiff, are not going to be Barcelona, are they? They're going to play long, get crosses into the box and that kind of thing. So it was, I don't know if Neil Warnock was listening to the show that night and at the tip off, but it definitely, I think Aliotic, this is the key, and there are some managers out there that think that strikers, it's an instinct and you can't teach it. I mean, Jose Mourinho is one that said that of Marcus Rashford, you can't teach it, they've either got it or they haven't. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer disagrees with that, and I think Aliotic was kind of in the Solskjaer camp in that he worked with the forwards, getting them into better positions, working on their finishing, and it definitely worked for Salah, and because it was such a move that only just happened to Cardiff, I don't think the impact is more felt in France, I think, than it is in British football at the moment.
What's your own view on that, Mark? It's an interesting one. I understand the, I suppose, having an innate talent or an innate sense of positional awareness as a striker, particularly in where the ball might end up. But surely it's not rocket science. Surely you can coach someone who's willing to learn.
Oh, I would have thought so. I mean, the practice, I mean, you have to have a certain amount of talent to get, so far in professional sport. I mean, that's pretty obvious. But, why does a golfer continually practice their putting or driving or whatever? And it's the same with strikers. You practice, and just a tiny bit of help, even if it's only gets 1% more out, it's better than nothing. I mean, I've been to sort of Tottenham training sessions, and Harry Kane is absolutely relentless in training, and then it goes out on the pitch, and more often than not that the ball goes exactly where he wants it to, and he works with people as well at Tottenham, and I definitely think that you can get a couple of percent. Like I say, I think there is a natural talent that you've either got it or you haven't. But you can definitely learn. And I think even somebody like Cristiano Ronaldo, will probably learn. That free kick that he takes, for instance. I mean, yeah. That's not just something that he dreamt up one day to take a free kick like that. That's practice, probably watching somebody like Juninho, who used to play for Lyon, the way he used to strike it. I think you definitely can. I think it's a little bit lazy to suggest that you can't, and probably a failing of the coaches there that don't believe you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, just let's go through some other news around here, but I want to stay in England if we can for the moment. Dele Alli is the latest injury casualty for Spurs. Mark, he's got a hamstring injury, so I think a few weeks is the prognosis there. Obviously Harry Kane is also on the treatment table at the moment, so it's not a great time of year for this to happen, if there is a good time.
Well, even worse with Heung-min Son away at the Asian Cup, and Tottenham thought they were going to get away with it at one stage today when Bahrain equalised against South Korea before South Korea won that game in extra time. So Son will be missing for another couple of matches. I think this is a real hammer blow to Tottenham. To already be missing their two frontline players in Kane and Son, to have Ali out of this Chelsea semi-final on Thursday, probably out of the both legs against Borussia Dortmund, him and Kane definitely missed the first leg, struggling to make the second leg. If they get through against Chelsea, they're almost certainly out of the cup final as well against Manchester City. I've supported their decision not to buy players because I think it's the right thing to do. There's no point wasting money, but maybe now is the time to just give a little bit of injection. They sold Moussa Dembele, so even if it's just somebody on loan until the end of the season, just to give them a little bit more sort of impetus up front, because Fernando Llorente had an absolute stinker against Fulham, and if he's not going to step up, and Vincent Janssen completely in the cold under Mauricio Pochettino, maybe that's a wrong move from Pochettino, but you feel like they maybe need to do something, to just make sure they qualify at the very least for the Champions League again next season.
Carrie? Do you think they could go for Arnautovic from West Ham, maybe? He seems quite unsettled, doesn't he?
It does seem unsettled. I mean, the kind of money that Arnautovic would want in terms of wages, in terms of transfer fee at his age, I don't see Tottenham doing that. And there's also a very frosty relationship between West Ham and Tottenham, both at board level and at fan level. I suspect that the linking of Arnautovic to Tottenham was a way of forcing West Ham into selling him to China. Sort of, you know, his brother, who's his agent, probably fed that story out to the newspapers, to say, well, you know, this is the worst case scenario. You don't want him to go to Tottenham. It would be such an unlike Tottenham signing. It would surprise me a lot. I think he's an outstanding player. Could definitely play for, you know, for most of the top six. But I just don't see Tottenham being involved in that battle.
Cesc Fabregas had a pretty decent home debut for Monaco at the weekend, Mark, didn't he?
Well, I mean, we spoke last week about the fact that they managed to play a little bit better and got the draw at Marseille. Then they drew against Patrick Vieira's Nice. Unfortunately for them, they were absolutely hammered 5-1 at home by Strasbourg. They were down to 10 men pretty early. Monaco, Naldo, the experienced centre-half, was sent off. But even so, shouldn't collapse in those kinds of circumstances at any time, really. I mean, you know, Thierry Henry, he takes one step forward and then about four back. It's a worrying situation. Definitely, they're still only with one place off bottom spot in France. They're actually going quite well in the French Cup competitions. They're in the semi-final of one, and they've got a French Cup tie tonight as well. But, you know, as far as Thierry Henry's concerned, they've just got to stay up. And I think that the one to look out for is whether Batshuayi comes in from Chelsea. There's a big transfer merry-go-round going on at the moment involving a number of teams, and I think that Batshuayi would quite like to go to Monaco. So I think he would be a really good signing for them, because they haven't got much quality up front outside of Radamel Falcao.
Yeah. You're not convinced by Henry, are you?
No, I didn't think he could be worse at anything than his
TV punditry.
But between that and the car ads, this is a Gary Neville job, isn't it?
Yeah, Mark, didn't he slag off one of Strasbourg defenders, Kenny Lala? Didn't he call his mother some horrible insult as well? The pressure seems to be getting to him.
He made sort of he cursed his nan. It wasn't even his mum; it was his nan. A strange. I mean, Henry cuts a frustrated figure on the touchline every time they miss a chance. He kind of turns back to the bench and sort of, you know, shrugs his shoulders. This is not what he was sold, I don't think, as the man. You know, he went in there as somebody that's a fan favourite. Actually, well-liked around France. I mean, when he first started management, he got in his first game, like all four sides of the stadium stood up and applauded him. I think that there's a lot of goodwill towards Henry to do well as a coach. But I don't think he realised how bad the problems were at Monaco. They have started to spend money because I think they've realised just how, you know, deep the relegation fight is. But there's a lot of off-field issues at the moment involving the president that's making life even more difficult for Henry without what's going on the pitch. So I think it's a good comparison with Gary Neville, because he made a mistake in going into that first job, and it can scar you. And you know, he's never been able to recover from that. If Thierry Henry struggles much more at Monaco, you wonder whether, you know, we may have sort of lost him to management altogether, and he'll be back in a TV studio near you before too long, unfortunately.
Right, Real Madrid. Real Madrid up to third in La Liga. Goals from Casemiro and from Luka Modric against Sevilla. Left it quite late, Mark. But I suppose what I took from reading the match reports was the fact that each one mentioned the apathy that seems to be around the Bernabeu at the moment, and how fans are a bit disenchanted by the season so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's understandable, really, when you're Real Madrid and, you know, your season in La Liga is effectively over already. You know, they're 10 points off Barcelona. I mean, I suppose you never say never, but it's very difficult to see how they can claw that back. So I think that that's probably where the apathy comes from now, that they are definitely going to finish in the top four. So it's just a case whether they can then raise their game for the Champions League, and how often have we seen them stumble through the early stages of the season, be absolutely useless going through the winter months, and then as we turn into spring, all of a sudden Real Madrid become interested again and turn it on for the Champions League. This doesn't look like a Champions League winning team at the moment. But what I would say is that the game against Sevilla was probably their best domestic performance of the season. And you mentioned him right at the top there, Luka Modric. He scored a goal. It was his best performance of the season. And we've been waiting for this from Modric. He's kind of had a few months off since the World Cup. He's been collecting award after award. And I'm not sure that he's been maybe as focused, because there was talk of him leaving in the summer. But it was his best performance, Real Madrid's best performance. So, maybe they can do it again.
Mark, you heard it here first. Is it not just simple math that you take out Ronaldo on 40, 50 goals a season? And you mentioned Harry Kane. Real Madrid will obviously have to do a $200 million job, and Harry Kane goes there in the summer.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm not sure if Real Madrid have got the money. And at the moment, they used to be able to just go and take whoever they wanted from whoever they, you know, needed to, and that would be that. They're trying to invest a lot of money into a stadium redevelopment at the Bernabeu. The TV rights in Spain have been more equally dished out in the last couple of years. So it used to be Real Madrid and Barcelona took virtually the lot, and you know, a lot of the other teams were left just feeding us off scraps. They've taken a more Premier League view, but without the money that the Premier League is able to generate. So in terms of what you'd need to get Harry Kane out of Tottenham, I'm not sure Real Madrid have got that kind of money, and they're going to have to be a bit wiser, a bit cuter in the transfer market. But you're absolutely right, Gary, in terms of the fact that they do need a striker, because, you know, even though they dominated that game against Sevilla, it wasn't until Casemiro, a holding midfielder, you know, broke the deadlock with just under 20 minutes to go, that they managed to find a way through. And of course, Real Madrid over the years have been able to not even play well and win matches because they're Cristiano Ronaldo. Now you've got a stage where if it's Karim Benzema, Gareth Bale, but these players have all been out injured, they just haven't got that quality up front that Cristiano Ronaldo provides and is providing for Juventus, who are benefiting, although he missed a penalty this week. Ronaldo does that for Juventus now. They don't dominate all games, but then he'll pop up with a late winner, and that's what used to happen at Real Madrid.
Yeah, okay, listen, great stuff, Mark. We've loads more to talk about, but no time to do it, so we'll do it next week. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Cheers. Paul and Sligo says we should do a whip round for Ronaldo. Yeah, God love him. 18 million. He probably said, yeah, do you want it now? I have it in cash here in my pocket if you want. I was surprised there's no mention of a jockey called, I think, Michael Sweeney, who won a race in Cork. He jumped the last fence and nearly fell, got back on the horse, won the race. It was on Sky Sports yesterday. I don't know if RT Sports showed it or not. I saw it. It was Michael Sweeney, Declan Queenie's horse, Ask Heather. And there's a clip going up.
Was it a point to point?
It was a point to point. Killer. Yeah. So if you follow Patrick Mulcahy, he's tweeted it out and it's gotten about 1,000 retweets as well, but it's absolutely amazing.
Unreal. I thought
amazing, and they did talk about it last night, I think, as well, on the show.
I know when Barry Geraghty wrapped himself around Kicking King in the King George.
Yeah.
That was good, but this is
incredible.
Different gravy.
Incredible. Billy and Cork says, ask Gary, is he gone from the Daily Mirror, as I haven't seen his golf tips for a while? You're back in February. Little break for you. But God love your little hands, you know, typing out.
Taking a little break from the poetry, so back in a couple of weeks.
No pressure, Billy. Hopefully he can deliver for
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Billy.
Offaly, the only team that can stop Dublin for five in a row. We've a good history of doing it. You sure do. I tell you, John Mann, it'd be some Lazarus-like if they beat Dublin this year. We'll come back to another question that I have for you, Gary. And someone asking about about a question last night you got no answer to. We'll try again. Could you tell me why an Airtel page 234 that Celtic beating Motherwell in the FA Cup final in 2018 and still up on text? Could you tell me why it is not down? RTE have Irish and English Cup final scores. To be honest with you, I didn't even know Airtel was still around. That's not me taking, you know, the mick here. I genuinely didn't think that Airtel was still in operation, so I have no idea. Unfortunately, I can't help you out on that.
Time for a new telly, I think.
51552 is our text number. This is 2FM.